Go with me this morning to the book of Judges. The book of Judges in the Old Testament. That's after the book of Joshua, or as Dad Hagin called it, Joshua. Joshua. But this is the book of Judges. The book of Judges, and we're going to start in chapter 6 and verse 11. Judges chapter 6, verse 11, and it'll be on the screen as well. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Praise God. This is the story, of course, you've heard of Gideon, right? And this is the story of Gideon, whom God raised up to deliver the children of Israel from the oppression of the Midianites that they were under at that time. And I want to call your attention back to two statements that the angel of the Lord makes to him at the beginning that were very difficult for Gideon to believe. You know, be encouraged in your life, because we see throughout the Bible that when God spoke to people about what he wanted to do for them and in them and through them, that many times it was hard for them to grasp and believe. Remember when God promised Abraham and Sarah that he was going to bless them with a child? They laughed. They said, "Oh, it can't be." And they laughed about it. They didn't laugh because they were in faith. They were laughing because it seemed so far-fetched and so ridiculous that it couldn't happen. Remember when Moses went down to back to Egypt after God said, "Go back and deliver my people," and he brought them and he gathered the children of Israel together, and he told them what God's plan was. And the Bible says that they were under such anguish of spirit that they could not believe what Moses was telling them. So if there are times in your life where you struggle with, you know, the promise of God, could God really, you know, don't get mad at yourself and don't abandon it. Just stay with it. Just stay with it. Because guess what? The more you stay with it, the more it's going to become believable, and the more God will do to confirm it to you, and the more God will do to encourage you to where you said, "Well, bless God, yes, the Bible is true. And what he says about me is true, and I'm going to go out and act like it. I'm going to go out and act like the Bible's true, because it is true." Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, it took a lot to happen for Gideon to get there, but Gideon finally got there. But two statements were difficult for him to believe at first. The angel comes and he said, "The Lord is with you." And he says, "Yeah, right. If the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? If the Lord is with us, where are all the miracles?" I noticed something in this that the angel didn't take time to address that. The angel, when he brought the message, he didn't take time to say, "Well, let me explain that to you." You know, sometimes our questions of why and where are just plain irrelevant to what God wants to do in our lives. "Who sinned?" the disciples said to Jesus when they were looking at the blind man. "This man or his parents that he was born blind?" Jesus said, "Neither one." And he didn't go any further into it. But he said, that's not, and the Message Bible says, "You're asking the wrong question." Sometimes we ask the wrong question. Sometimes our questions are irrelevant. And sometimes, to be honest with you, you wouldn't want to know the answer. God is sparing you. The real answer to the question here is, you people are backslid. You people have forsaken the Lord. That's why you're not seeing miracles. That's why the Lord's, you know, that's why things are happening the way they are. Amen. That was the real answer. Now, I wasn't saying that to you. I was just saying that's what the angel would have said. I'm serious. That's what the angel would have said to Gideon if he would have answered it. But even that explanation was irrelevant to what God wanted to do. Amen. So he says, the Lord is with you. And then he says, you're a mighty man of valor. And again, Gideon is, yeah, right. You're a mighty man of valor. And he says, you're going to save Israel. I'm raising you up. He says, how can I save Israel? He said, my clan is the weakest, and I'm the least in my family. I'm the baby of the family. I'm the least in my father's house. In other words, I am not qualified for this. Again, a common response. That's what Moses said when God called him. He said, you know, I'm not qualified to do this. You know, don't argue with God on that, though. If God says you're qualified, if God calls you to do who's, think about this, who's smarter? You or God? Huh? Come on. Amen. Who knows? You think you know you, but God knows you better than you know you, and God knows what He's put in you, and God knows what He can do through you. So believe that. Praise God. And so it takes some convincing for Gideon, but he finally, you know, like Mission Impossible, he chooses to accept the assignment. I'm talking about, I haven't seen the movies, but the old TV show. You know, your assignment if you choose to accept it, okay? So he chooses to accept the assignment, okay? And then the Lord gives him a strategy. In Judges chapter 7, well, you know, he started out with 32,000. And God said, that's too many. So several thousand of them went home. And God said, that's still too many. And several more thousand went home. So he went from 32,000 down to, remember, 300, right? And so Judges chapter 7, verse 16, then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand. He says, here, take this. So he finds 300 trumpets, and he puts a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitcher. So in one hand, they have a trumpet. In the other hand, they have a torch with a jar over it. All right? Strange. Verse 19. So Gideon and the 100, so he divided them up into three groups. He took 100 with him. He had another leader over 100 over here and another one over here. And they go and they surround the camp of the Midianites, 300 of them, 100 in three different locations. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. So this is in the middle of the night, okay? Just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!" And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army, the enemies, the Midianites, the whole army ran and cried out and fled. Now there were several thousand of the Midianites gathered there and only 300 with Gideon. So they come in the middle of the night and surprise attack. Suddenly they're breaking these jars and boom, 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 boom. All of a sudden, phew, 300 torches of light show up all around the camp. Imagine you're in the middle of the Midianite camp and boom, 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 boom. All these torches suddenly light up. And then you hear, you know, the trumpets are sounding. All right. That wasn't the best imitation of a trumpet, but you get the picture. All right. And so they're blowing the trumpets. Now, there's only 300 of them, remember, but it gives the appearance. It's the middle of the night. They can't see how many there are. It gives the appearance of being thousands or tens of thousands because every man's holding a torch. Normally, you wouldn't put a torch in every man's hand, just a few strategically placed in it. Oh, they're everywhere. And then everybody, you wouldn't give everybody a trumpet. Just only a few strategically. Everybody's blowing these trumpets and they're thinking, oh, where'd all this great army come from? And they fled. Hallelujah. So Gideon and his band of 300 prevailed with a torch and a trumpet. So I want to talk to you today about the divine strategy that God not only gave to Gideon, but a strategy he's given to us to prevail against the enemy that maybe is oppressing us. They were oppressed by the Midianites. And we know that enemy that tries to oppress us is Satan. But we, just like Gideon and his army prevailed, we can prevail over Satan with a torch and with a trumpet. With a torch and a trumpet. So let's talk about what that is for us today. What is the torch? What is our torch that we're to hold? Well, a torch in that day, of course, was used to give light in the darkness, right? A torch was used to illuminate the path of the one holding it. If you went out at night, you had a torch, so you'd hold it out in front of you so you could see where you were going, right? It would illuminate your path as you walked in the darkness. Well, let's look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So what's the torch? The torch is God's word. The torch is God's word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If we're going to prevail against the enemy, we must have the torch. We cannot abandon the torch of God's word. Amen? Because it's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. In Psalm 119, verse 130, look at this one. The entrance of your words, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Praise God. The entrance of God's word will give light to our situation. So that torch is represented throughout Scripture by the word of God. The word of God brings light. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I want you to see something here very important. Notice that each one of Gideon's soldiers had their own torch. What am I saying? You can't depend on somebody else to know the Bible for you. Say, Pastor, where's that scripture that says? Now, again, you know, I don't mind if you ask me that from time to time, but you need to know where that scripture is.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You can't depend on somebody else to know the Bible for you. You have to have your own torch.
Yes.
You have to have your own torch. And I don't just mean a physical copy of the Bible. Yeah, I got a torch. Here it is right here. Well, that's great, but it's got to be on the inside of you. It's got to get in you. His words have to get on the inside of us. Amen? We have to know the word for ourselves. The Holy Spirit is just waiting. You know, that was really the absolute turning point of my life. I can go back many years ago now. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I mean, I grew up in church. I got saved when I was a boy. And No, that was genuine. I know that I called on the Lord and I was saved. But I really didn't walk with God. I really didn't know much about God. I didn't know you could. I didn't know it was available. I didn't know we couldn't know Him and walk with Him and have a victorious life. But I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit began to guide me and lead me to the Word and get that Word on the inside of me. And that Word became alive on the inside of me. That was the turning point. A true turning point in my life and getting the Word of God in me. And He wants to do that for each one of us. He wants to guide us. That's why He's been sent to lead us and to guide us into all the truth. And He's just waiting to guide each one of us into to give us revelation, to give us understanding, so that when we face any situation, when we face any circumstance, our first question will be, wait a minute, what does the Word say about this? And we'll know. And we'll know. And if we don't know, He'll guide us to where we do know. Hallelujah. And we'll put the Word first. And what will that do? That will illuminate that darkness that we happen to be in based the darkness of that situation or that circumstance, and will shine the light of God's word and God's truth on that so we can see what we need to do. Amen?
Yes,
so the torch is God's word. Now let's look at another scripture here that ties in with not only did they have a torch, but remember how it was, they kept it concealed, right? With that clay jar. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't give you the... I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living. And I didn't notify you of that. They've got the New King James, which is good. But listen to it in the New Living. I'm reading it out of the New Living. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 in the New Living says, we now have this light shining in our hearts. That's the light of His Word. It can't just be in our Bible, on the shelf, in our house, or even in our hand. I say, well, I don't leave it on the shelf. I dust it off. I bring it with me. That's great. That's wonderful. But it's got to get inside us. It's got to get in our heart. That comes from reading it daily. That comes from studying it. That comes from hearing the Word of God, hearing messages. Amen. Praise God. Feeding on it. And it's got to get on the inside of us. And He says, we've got this light shining in our hearts. Amen. That's where it's got to be. Amen.
Amen.
We've got this. We now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. So here we are in the New Testament. Paul says we've got the light in our hearts, but it's contained in a fragile clay jar. Just like Gideon, just like the torch that he gave to his troops. It was a torch, but it was in a clay jar. Isn't that amazing? All right. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this treasure. This makes it clear that the great power is from God, not from ourselves. So the light of the torches was contained and concealed under the clay jars. We're like those clay jars. So the light of God's word is to be in us. Amen. We have to get the word in us. Only then can it shine out of us. It can't shine out of you if it's not in you. Amen. So it's so important. I know this is basic, but with this illustration, hopefully you're seeing it in a fresh light today. Amen. Praise God. And he says, so I like that last statement. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves.
Amen.
Point is this, there's great power. The excellence of the power, the New King James says. There's great power in God's word.
Amen.
Believe that. Yeah. Expect that. I'm believing today. We prayed in the office before service today. I said, Lord, I thank you. I have confidence in the power of your word. That the Word of God has power to transform lives, to change lives. I believe that as I'm sharing the Word of God today, something's happening on the inside of you, healing your body, transforming you, renewing your mind. There's great power in the Word of God. That's why the devil's tried to shut it down. That's why the devil's tried to silence it and stop it. He knows the power that's in God's Word. Well, we know it. And we're gonna take advantage of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, they not only had a torch, they had what? They had a trumpet.
Yeah.
They had a torch in one hand, and they had a trumpet in the other hand for blowing. Well, what does that mean for us? The trumpet, your trumpet is your voice. Your trumpet is your voice. The trumpet is the word of God spoken out of your mouth. That's what the trumpet is. We have to have both. We have to have God's word on the inside of us, but then we have to raise that trumpet, and we have to speak that word. We have to make a bold confession based on His word out of our mouth in order to defeat the enemy. Revelation says they overcame him, Satan. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, their declaration. Amen. And I want to talk to you. You've heard, yeah, Pastor, we know that. We know we're supposed to speak God's word. But I want to talk to you about something that I think a lot of times we miss in this. And then in my observation of pastoring for over 30 years, I've seen this, that a lot of Christians really don't get a hold of this, even though they've heard this message, it's something that seems difficult for people to really step out and do, and that's this. It's to have an authoritative confession of their faith. An authoritative confession of their faith. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8. Look at this. For if the trumpet, what's the trumpet? Our mouth, our words. And Paul really was talking about that in 1 Corinthians because he was talking about speaking with tongues, and he was equating speaking in tongues as being a trumpet, or your voice being a trumpet. For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? If the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? When they get the trumpet out to blow the trumpet to prepare the troops for battle, is it? And again, I can't give a good one, you know. But what is it? It's bold. It's strong. It's loud. It's authoritative. Hallelujah. Are you healed? I think so. I hope so. Well, I believe God will do it one day. I believe I'm going. That's not a certain sound. If you make a declaration like that, you are uncertain. With his stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. I am healed. That's a certain sound. Amen. That's lifting your voice and using your trumpet. Amen. And it's with any area. It's with any area. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Good. Hebrews 13. I love this scripture. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. We used this verse when we were doing this series, or not series, but message on contentment. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I just want to take a little side thought right here. And I just want you to think about that statement, that last part of the verse. God himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Think about that. If you and I really believe that, we would never, ever, 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 ever worry again. If we really believe that, we would never, ever, 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 ever yield to fear again. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never. I just was meditating on that the other day, and I just kept declaring it over and over. Thank you, Lord. You will never leave me. You will never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah. That belongs to you. I said that belongs to you. This is God speaking to you. Amen. The Bible, especially the New Testament, is God speaking to us. This was written to you. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you. I think it might be the most important verse in the Bible, right behind John 3:16. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. But now I want you to get this. So just meditate on that. But get this. For he himself has said, God has said something. God has, that's the torch. The torch is what God has said. That dispels the darkness, doesn't it? That dispels the darkness of worry. That dispels the darkness of apprehension in our lives. The light of God's word, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God said that. Look at verse 6 now. So we may boldly say, here, get this. Because God said something, now I can say something. Because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, now I can boldly say. Notice this. He says, so we may boldly say. Everybody say, boldly say.
Boldly say.
Because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, now I can boldly say what? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, here's an important point. when we talk about speaking God's word, there are times where we should directly speak God's word. But then also, this is not a direct quote. We don't boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear." We can say that. But because God said, I mean, we don't say word for word, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." We say, "The Lord is my helper, I'll not fear." Because God said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Now I can say, "The Lord is my helper." You see that? I can make a bold declaration that's based on the word of God. Doesn't have to be word for word scripture, but it's based on, it's founded on what God said. Because God said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," I can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." And I want to again emphasize, we may boldly say. We may boldly say. Hallelujah. Because God said something, I can say something. That's the trumpet. And the way we say it. You know, the way you say things is just as important as what you say many times. The tone that you use, right? Amen. Well, the way we say it is important. The way we say it, the authority that we say it with is important. The Bible says this about Jesus. It says, "With authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out." With authority and power, he commands. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we should speak with that same authority. We should speak with that same boldness. See, the Midianites, as I said, they thought there were tens of thousands of troops surrounding them. When those torches started lighting up and when those trumpets started blowing, why? Why did they think that? Again, it was dark. They couldn't see. They thought there must be tens of... If they had been able to see that there was only 300, they wouldn't have gotten freaked out and run. They would have stood up and fought. But that was God's divine strategy. Amen. Here's the thing. When you and I speak God's word, get this. When you and I speak the word of God in the name of Jesus, the devil and his demons, they don't know if that's Jesus or you.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Yes.
When you and I lift our voice and when we speak the word of God in the name of Jesus, the devil can't discern the difference. Is that Jesus commanding me? They think it is. They think it is. But then if we're halting and faulting and uncertain and unsure and timid about our confession, that can't be Jesus. Because he doesn't speak that way. He speaks with boldness. He speaks with authority. Amen? And that's the way we should. All they can see when we speak God's word, all they can see in the realm of the Spirit is the blinding, overcoming light of God's holy word. That's what they see. All they hear is the voice of that word, which is, the Bible tells us, the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the sword of the Spirit. Notice what the Israelites cried out. Go back to Judges 7, verse 20. "Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands, the trumpets in their right hand for blowing. And they cried, 'The sword of the Lord and Gideon.'" What does the New Testament say? Ephesians 6, 17. "Take the helmet of salvation." Go with me quick here, guys. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And that one, and the word there, the Greek word for word of God is the word rhema. There are two Greek words translated word of God. One is logos. That includes the written word. That's more of an all-inclusive, but more specific, more focused is the word rhema, which means literally the word of God spoken. When we speak the word of God out of our mouth, it becomes the sword of the Spirit. that cuts in pieces the oppression of the enemy. Hallelujah. It slices to pieces the lies, the deception, the chains, and the oppression of the enemy when we speak it out of our mouth. Speak it boldly. Speak it boldly. Praise God. Reed, come on back up if you would. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14:8. I want to look at that again. For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, last part says, who will prepare for battle? Who will prepare for battle? I want you to get this. We're not done. We're not done. So don't close your Bible. Don't close your notes. Amen. If the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So our bold confession of God's word, that becomes the trumpet, right? That's our trumpet. All right, we're good on that? All right. And that trumpet does just what this verse says. If it's a certain sound, then the troops will prepare for battle.
Amen.
When we make a bold and authoritative confession based on the word of God, there's some troops that are going to prepare for a battle on our behalf. Who are they? Who are the troops? The Lord, throughout the Bible, the Lord is referred to as the Lord of hosts. You ever read that phrase? Thus saith the Lord of hosts. In fact, it's in Haggai over and over and over. In chapter 2, it's in there about 6 times. The Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. The word host literally means armies. The Message Bible reads words it this way: God of the angel armies. The armies, the host, are the angels. The troops are the angel. And if our trumpet is making an uncertain sound, then the troops can't prepare for battle. But if our trumpet, if our voice, if our confession will make a certain sound, then the troops are going to prepare for battle, and they're going to go to battle on our behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The angels are waiting for a sound from your mouth to go to battle on your behalf. You got scripture for that, Pastor? Yep. Yep. Psalm 103, verse 20. I'm so glad you asked. Psalm 103, 20. Bless the Lord. Who? You, His angels, who excel in strength. Woo. Who excel in strength. I'm sorry. But your image of an angel is this dainty, lithe little female. Sorry. Now, I'm all for dainty, lithe little females. God knows we need them. Amen. But that's not who the angels are. They excel in strength. And they do His word. When do they do it? They are heeding the voice. They're heeding the voice. They're heeding the voice of His word. One translation says, they're hearkening to the calling aloud of the spoken word. And they're not just waiting on God Himself to issue the call and the command. It's whenever any one of His children lift their trumpet, lift their voice, and speak His word, and make a declaration, a bold declaration in line with His word, they hear it. Yes. And they heed it. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like I said to you that the devil and the demons, they can't tell if it's Jesus or if it's you. When we speak the word of God, they don't know. They think, oh, that's Jesus, so we better obey that. We've got to obey that. Yeah. You know, the angels can't tell either. They make no distinction if that's coming straight from the Father or if that's coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
If it's His word, if it's in line with His will, and if it's based on His word, and if it's coming out in faith, because God speaks in faith.
Yeah.
If it's coming out in faith, and they jump to attention and they go to work. Hallelujah. I've shared this with you many times, but it bears repeating. The revelation that Kenneth E. Hagin shared with the body of Christ, it's in the little book, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. He had been pastoring for years, and then he went out into traveling ministry, and he incurred a lot more expenses that way, and he wasn't being sponsored by his church, and he went through his figures in that first year. He had made $1,200 less, plus the church he was pastoring, they furnished a house for him to live in, a parsonage. Plus, he said, they were always buying extra stuff, doing extra stuff for him. He was out of pocket $1,200 a month. That was a lot back in the 40s. That's a lot of money. You know, that's probably like 10,000, maybe 5,000 or more, 10,000 today. He was out of pocket $1,200 a month. Plus, he was having to pay for his own home. Plus, he's having to furnish his own way to meeting, all of that. So he was hurting. They were hurting financially. His family was hurting. And he went to the Lord about it, and he said, well, I want, there's parts of it that aren't relevant today, but he says, the Lord said, don't pray about money anymore. He said, at least not the way you've been praying. And he said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, first of all, he said, claim whatever you need or want. Claim it. And he said, claim whatever. He said, well, Lord, I can believe that you'll meet our needs, but if our wants, that's getting pretty far out there. And he said, well, see, you ever read the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Claim whatever you need or want, he said, and then say, Satan, take your hands off my money, because it's Satan withholding from you, not me. I'm not withholding adequate food and clothing from your little children. That's not me. That's the devil. That's Satan withholding. Command Satan, take his hands off that money, and then say this. He said, then say, go, ministering spirits, cause the money to come. Amen. He said, Lord, what in the world do you mean by that? He said, took him to Hebrews 1:14. He said, are they not all the angels? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for, yeah. Not just not two, but for yeah. Those who are the heirs of salvation. Yeah. And the Lord gave him the illustration of a waiter in a restaurant. He said, that waiter is there, or waitress is there to minister for you. Would you go get me a refill of sweet tea, please? They're there to minister for you. He said, you turn in your order to the waitress, and they go, and they bring it in. He said, just like the devil and demons go out, and they do the bidding of Satan to try to withhold and disrupt and try to influence people to do evil. You know, to lie, cheat, and steal, and do everything wrong. They're influencing people. He said, and in the same way, the angels will go out, and they will influence people to do good. Amen. They will influence people to cause the resources and money to be released and come into your hands. And he said, with fear and trembling, I went out. He said, he was doing a meeting at a church, and he'd been there for 2 weeks the previous year. Done a two-week meeting, and they paid him $114 for 2 weeks. All right. And he figured up his budget was $150 a month. He said, I didn't include a stick of gum or even a soft drink for myself. That was the bare minimum. That was my budget. That's what would keep my family, you know, provided for at home and keep me on the road, $150 a month. So he went out into the church, and he's in the middle of the day, nobody's there but him. And he said, so he went through that. He claimed $150 a week. Did I say a month? A week. I'm sorry, a week. $150 a week. He said, I claim $150 this week. And he said, Satan, I command you to take your hands off my money. And then he said, I didn't know. You know, this was all new to me. I never heard anybody say this. But I said, go. He said, I closed my eyes. And I imagined that church sanctuary filled with the angels of God. And I said, go, ministering spirits, cause the money to come. He said, that was the end of it. The Lord told him, he said, after that, he said, just anytime you think of it, say, thank God it's working. Thank God it's working. Don't pray about it again. That's the end. He said, I knew enough about faith to know. You know, just thank God it's working. And he said, by the end, he stayed that week, and then he went into the next week. The pastor asked him to stay, but he could only stay through Wednesday. And so that should have been like $225. And he said at the end of those 10 days, the first week and half the next week, the pastor handed him a check for $300, or handed him, I don't know if it was a check back in those days, handed him $350. The pastor says, "This beats all I've ever seen." He said, "I don't know where this came from." Brother Hagin said, "I understand it thoroughly. I understand it thoroughly." He went on from church to church proving that out. Amen. Praise God. And I'm telling you, God's word works. God's word works. The angels of God are hearkening, waiting for you and I to give them a command. We do that by a bold declaration of the word of God. Amen. Not just in our finances, but in every area of our life. They're sent to minister for us. Amen. Praise God. They're waiting for us to raise our trumpet. Hallelujah. Now, one more area here I want to talk to this about, or talk to us about in this, is our nation. The disciples in the book of Acts, they were commanded and threatened after the healing of the lame man at the Gate Beautiful. They were commanded to speak no more in the name of Jesus. Remember that? And here and now in this nation, I don't know if you're following it, but the Democrat Party had a forum on Thursday, this past Thursday, and a town hall forum. And one of their candidates, Beto O'Rourke, stood up, and they asked him the question about I don't know exactly how the question was framed, but they asked him the question about same-sex marriage and about religious institutions accepting that and approving that and being on board with that. And he made this statement. He said, "If any church, if any religious institution does not agree with same-sex marriage, then we will," he said, "if I'm elected president, I will make it a priority in my administration that we will strip away their tax-exempt status. They cannot be rewarded if they do not agree with and if they do not acknowledge the human and civil rights of people to approve of same-sex marriage." Well, what are we to do about that? I mean, this is this week. This is what's happening. Not only this issue, but there's many other issues, areas of morality, sexuality, the right to life, many other areas that if a certain political party gets voted into office, they're gonna try to suppress the truth and suppress the word of God. What are we to do? We're to do exactly what the early church did. Yeah. Acts chapter 4, they prayed. In Acts 4:29, they said, "Now, Lord, look on their threats. Hear what they're saying. Look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness, they may speak your word." Hallelujah. What are we to do? We're to shine our torch. We're to say, no. We're the Bible says that marriage is between one man and one woman. The word of God says that God made them male and female, and not a group of various evolving genders in between, but male and female. Right. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. And we're to hold up the torch, the truth of God's word to our generation and to our nation. And we're to pray for boldness for ourselves and for those that are in the forefront in the body of Christ, that with all boldness we would speak God's word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." They were using their torch and their trumpet. Hallelujah. Gideon didn't see himself as a mighty man of valor, did he? But God did. Gideon didn't think he could make a difference and deliver his nation, but God said he would. I believe you and me can make a difference in our lives, certainly, in our families, our households, certainly, but also in our nation. If we'll lift up our torch and use it, if we'll get the word of God in us, and then if we'll boldly speak it out of our mouth. Amen. Amen. Take up your torch. Take up your trumpet. In fact, why don't you stand up? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm going to help you today. I'm going to lead you, but don't let it stop here. It's easy to make a bold declaration when you're in church and surrounded by people and the pastor's telling you what to say. But get it on the inside of you. Amen. Get it on the inside of you. And when you face situations in your life, when you're facing a situation of financial need in your life, boldly declare, "My God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." If you're facing an attack in your physical body, "Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I am redeemed from all sickness, from all disease, from all infirmity. With His stripes I am healed. He heals all my diseases." Hallelujah. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. The Lord takes away from me all sickness." Hallelujah. That's how it works. That's how it works. He's given you a torch. He's given you a trumpet. It's up to you to use it. It's up to you to use it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Make this declaration. Heavenly Father, thank you. You've given me a torch. You've given me your word. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word is a light to my path. Your word, I hide it in my heart. It drives away the darkness. It drives away the darkness of fear and oppression. Your word is my torch. And Father, you've given me a trumpet. That's the word of God spoken out of my mouth. In the name of Jesus, I make a decision. My trumpet will not make an uncertain sound. But my trumpet will make a certain sound. A sound of authority. A sound of boldness. I boldly declare, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I boldly declare, the Spirit of God is leading me. I boldly declare, my steps are ordered by the Lord. I boldly declare, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I boldly declare, with long life, He satisfies me. I boldly declare, I will live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord. I boldly declare, God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory. I boldly declare, God is making all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing abound toward me, so that whatever the circumstance, whatever the need, I am self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. I'm blessed, and I'm a blessing in the name of Jesus. I say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I declare, God is restoring to me the years the locust has eaten. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.